It is exactly 9:45, 15 shy of 10 o'clock, Friday morning, last day of January. We're delighted to have a wonderful singer-songwriter with us right now. J.J. Crown is here. And J.J., good morning to you. How are you?
Morning to you, Warren. How are you doing?
Good. So the J.J. stands for what?
Joseph J. Those are my, that's my real name there, Joseph J., J.J.
So J.J. kind of flows nice with
yeah.
Crown.
That's what I figured, you know, when I went into my musical life, I wanted to have a slightly different identity. I also work as a lawyer, and so I didn't want to have the two cross paths too much. So I took on that name, and that's been working for me.
So I love singer-songwriters who are storytellers, and that kind of describes you and your music to a T, I think.
Very much so. All of my songs tell stories, and I know in country music, of course, that there's a lot of value to that. But I also work a lot in folk music, which is, of course, another storytelling medium. And, yeah, everything is based, you know, a little bit on a real experience, and then you kind of expand on that and take it other places. And that's where the songs come from.
And your music kind of heads in many directions, as you said, a little country, a little folk, a little Americana, singer-songwriter, a little bit of everything. And as I told you off the air, I took the CD in my car and had to go out for a ride the other day and listen to the whole thing. And it's kind of difficult for me to pick which song I like the best, JJ, but I have to tell you, my two favorites on the CD, Kindred Hearts and She and He.
I'm glad you like them. Those are two of my more romantic pieces there, and both of them inspired, you know, by real events. And Kindred Hearts, you know, it's kind of self-explanatory when you hear it. It's about looking for love and how you think maybe someone you pass on the street or you see in a subway train, you know, how do you know that's not the person for you? And the song is about that. It's about, you know, letting somebody walk by, and maybe this is a person you should have met. Maybe this is your kindred spirit or your kindred heart. And She and He is a song about, you know, a couple that stays together by all their differences. So the opposites attract kind of theme. And that song has done really well for me, especially in Europe. People really dig it. They like the story it tells. And, you know, that one's got kind of a jazzy feel. I've got the saxophone happening and kind of an Antonio Carlos Jobim type of feel to the song. And so that's one of my jazzier numbers. But like you say, most of the others are either alt-country or folk-type style. It's the genre they seem to put them in.
And I kind of feel like you're not new at this, so take us back how this all began for you, how you became so interested in singing, songwriting, and I think, are you a native of Florida somewhere down there?
No, actually, I'm a fellow New Yorker.
Oh, okay.
And I was raised actually in Jersey City, right across the Hudson River from the Twin Towers there, and I moved to Florida as a teenager. So I'm in Florida. By Florida standards, I'm sort of a native, because anyone who's been here, I think, more than 10 or 20 years considers themselves a native down here. Hmm. But I started when I got here, then I was reading your bio, and I know you started in high school, and I'm kind of the same way. In high school, I started working for radio stations doing jingle work, and that's what got me into the business. I was doing those, and then all through college, law school, I was doing jingles, and there was a time in Miami when I'd have 10 or 15 of my jingles on the air simultaneously, and so I could turn the dial and, you know, hear different little pieces of my music for at least 30 seconds, you know, or 60 seconds, and that's how I got into it. But I always wrote songs, and those were the most important thing to me. So the jingles was just kind of a way to, you know, to get into the business, to learn recording techniques, things like that. But the songs I've been writing, I think, since I was like 10 or 11 years old.
So jingles, you know, a lot of folks began their career writing and singing jingles, didn't they? I can think of a few in the back of my mind right now.
Absolutely. Of course, Barry Manilow is like the king of that.
Yes.
And when I was coming up, you know, in the 70s, he was definitely a hero of mine. Like, here's this guy who wrote Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's, you know, and then he turns around and he backs up Bette Midler, and then, of course, he becomes a star on his own with his own songs. And that was always kind of a model I used to try to follow, was Barry Manilow.
So the new CD, it's a self-titled CD called J.J. Crown. It's got some wonderful songs, 10 great songs, all written by you, I'm sure, right?
Yes, everything's written, not only written by me, Warren, but I'm the only musician on the album. So it's a total one-man job, everything, all the vocals, all the guitar parts, everything is done by myself. And then I record in a home studio, and then the tracks were sent up to Nashville to a wonderful engineer named Jeff Silverman. And Jeff has done work for Prince, Barbara Streisand, Rick Springfield. And he liked the material, and so we had a very interesting relationship where I would work on the songs, write them, record all the tracks, and then email each individual track up to him, and then he and I would mix it virtually from his studio in Nashville, and myself in Miami, we mixed each song like that. So that's how it was done. So very, very 21st century technology involved in doing this process.
So, JJ, what does it take to be a success in this business these days? I know it's so competitive, so much more than it was many years ago.
Absolutely. It is a very, you well know, Warren, it's a very crowded field. And it's nice in one way, but in some ways it's so competitive now. You know, with modern technology, people have recording equipment like I do in their homes. You know, the days of going to a big studio and paying, $100 or $200 an hour, those are history. You know, everybody can do it there, but it's still quality. You have to have a good song. You have to have the chops, to play and sing this stuff. So, but if you go on these sites on the internet, and I'm sure you can like Reverb Nation and Sonic Bids, and you find literally, tens of thousands of artists who are putting out material now. I think every week there's got to be at least 5,000 new CDs released worldwide. So it's very competitive. Sometimes I joke with people, I wish I were born 20 years earlier, and maybe if I tried to make it in the 60s or something, it would have been a little less competitive than it is now. Mm. But it's great. The upside of it, of course, is people can access music from anywhere, their smartphones, computers, and just like I listen to your station, through the internet stream. And it's a wonderful thing, so you can go worldwide pretty quickly, but you have to have the material.
So, JJ, who were some of your heroes, music-wise, growing up? Is there anyone you wanted to be like or sing like?
Oh, well, absolutely. This coming week, of course, February 7th, is a special day for many musicians around the world, and that's the day the Beatles arrived in America. And I was a very little boy, but I do remember it very well, and that was a huge... I loved music as a small child, but I never forget seeing that show on Sunday night and saying, okay, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. So a big personal hero of mine is John Lennon. His writing, just most of his life. He had that downside to his life, but most of the things he did in his life and his music was just an incredible influence on me. And I know on really millions of musicians around the world. And that changed everything. It changed rock and roll. It changed the way you saw music. It changed the fact that groups were writing their own songs, as opposed to the old model from the 1950s, where people wrote for other people. So that was a big influence. Harry Chapin, another fellow New Yorker, huge influence on me, storytelling songs, of course. He was a master of that. I love that kind of material. And Crosby, Stills, and Nash for their harmonies. And as you heard on my album, I've got some songs like Toy Soldiers and others with real thick four or five-part harmonies. And then right there, that's my Crosby, Stills, and Nash influence there.
Great stuff. Couldn't beat that kind of music back in that era. And, it lives today. There's a whole new generation of fans.
Absolutely. And I'm always impressed with that. And I get emails, from people around the world on the music, and many of them are teenagers, college students, and that's a wonderful thing. And a lot of them say that this is like, my father used to listen, to this guy, or Paul Simon, Simon and Garfunkel, and you remind me of that. That's really cool, I love it. I think that stuff was priceless. So if people want to ever, if they compare me to that, I have no problems with being compared to people like Simon and Garfunkel or Dylan, obviously such a master he was of storytelling.
You mentioned the Beatles. We were talking about the Beatles and the first big performance on the Ed Sullivan Show. I, too, was just a young kid, but I can remember watching that. And not only me, but I can remember even my parents who, your parents certainly weren't rock and roll fans, but
right.
It was such an event that everyone had to watch that evening.
Absolutely. It was just the greatest thing. I'll never forget it, you know. And I was reading recently, and I think in one of the music magazines, different musicians commenting on upcoming 50th anniversary, and it was stars from all genres of music, and so many of them were saying, oh, this is what did it for me. You know, this one event, this one group of four people, you know, came around and changed my life. You know, this is what so many of these stars say in these interviews, and there's a lot of truth to that. The other thing about the Beatles, and not to dwell on them, but they were so diversified. So, you know, growing up, you heard, you know, the rock songs, you know, but then you heard stuff like Yesterday and Martha, My Dear, and, you know, Julia, and then the acoustic things, and they had so many different ways they wrote. They dabbled in a little country once in a while, and they got very heavy towards the end. Songs like Helter Skelter, you know, which are still like rock classics, and that influenced people like me. It's like, okay, you don't just have to write rock. You know, you can write ballads. You know, you can write songs that tell other types of stories. You know, besides just, you know, love stories.
And the Beatles were smart enough to change with the years because, as you said, their music, I mean, when you listen to the Beatles in 1964 and you listen to the Beatles in 1968, quite a change. And music,
right.
You know, we went
right
into that psychedelic period of rock and roll music as we headed towards the late 1960s. And the Beatles were smart enough to change into that type of genre, and it worked for them.
Yeah, I have, and I'll tell you one very quick little anecdote. I had one encounter with a person related to the Beatles, and it was through my legal work many years ago, but a producer who did John Lennon's last album, the fellow's name is Jack Douglas, and he actually was in court on a minor case, and he was a client of mine, and I just hounded this poor guy. It's like, tell me all about John Lennon. Tell me about the Double Fantasy album. Tell me how you recorded everything. And we became friendly, and it was very nice, but that's my only personal tie-in to anyone who's ever worked with the Beatles. Mm. But anyway, it's been a great ride for me so far, and I've had some, you know, some good radio success with this album, and that is a really big thrill, you know, to be on the radio charts, and I'm on a few different charts, so I'm like they were. I'm kind of a crossover artist, you know.
Yeah. You opened for some great people over your career back in the '90s. One of my favorite country bands, the Mavericks.
Yeah. Here in South Florida, of course, they're from Miami, and Raul Malo was the head of the group. We were playing on South Beach, and this is going back in 1989, 1990, just when they were getting big locally. They hadn't been signed yet, and Raul liked myself, my songs, and so he said, listen, why don't you start opening for us? So 2-3 nights a week, I had a little trio at the time doing my songs. We were opening for the Mavericks, and then we continued that for a couple of years right up until they signed with MCA. And, of course, their career just, you know, skyrocketed. They did so well. They won Grammy Awards. I think you may know the bass player, Bobby, ended up marrying Trisha Yearwood.
Mm-hmm.
And they became real country celebrities. Well, they were very nice guys, and our musical styles really kind of gelled together. And it was a great association. But the other one you've probably seen in my bio is I've opened up shows for Marilyn Manson.
Well, there's a little diversity.
Exactly. But the funny thing is, Warren, I was playing the same type of songs that I do now. So it's not like I had some, you know, shock metal act or something and then we were opening up for, you know, the King of Shock. I was doing this kind of stuff. And so managers of clubs and whatnot, we were pretty popular then. They said, okay, why don't you open up for Marilyn? I said, well, do you think his audience would really like, you know, my kind of music? And they did. They were all very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he was an interesting character. He's also from South Florida. He's from a town called Coral Springs up here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was interesting. And then I remember the night we played with him, the night Trent Reznor signed him. And that was at a big event here at a club that used to be called the Button South, about 1,000 people. It was a record company, a showcase type of thing. And I remember we played there, and he played there, and he got signed by Trent Reznor, and we went on our merry way. So nothing happened with us. But I've had some funny encounters with people like that.
We have singer and songwriter J.J. Crown with us. His self-titled album, J.J. Crown, is out there available right now. Very interesting cover. Do you love the sea, the sun? It looks very serene.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a Pisces, and that was taken down in Key Largo, as was the back cover. And yeah, that's I've always been a water person, and I've always derived a lot of solace and inspiration, you know, from the water. So I visit there often. It's just about an hour and a half drive from my house. So that's really my environment. So I thought, what better to represent me than have me looking into the water and the sun rising up, and then on the back is the sun setting. So it's a little sunrise, sunset kind of a theme going on there.
So before I let you go, just one more quick question. I want to play something off the CD for our listeners. The song Another Day of Love, very successful. Just talk about that a bit.
Sure. That song's been doing really well. I wrote that, pardon me, because I'm inspired working the way I do. I work with a lot of indigent people in the legal practice. Homelessness, of course, a big issue everywhere. And I wrote that song from the point of view of kind of a jaded guy who sees the homelessness and the war and the crime around him, can't really do anything about it, but he's sort of reminiscing in his mind, like, you know, whatever happened to the days of peace and love? And maybe this is something these people could use. But as far as me, you know, I'm not going to help these people. I'm just, you know, some businessman. So get out of my way, and I don't want to be bothered with you, but I'm wishing you another day of love, by the way. You know, that's the attitude I took in that song. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of Dylan-esque. Some people say a little Lou Reed type of style, because I'm talking through half the song and singing through half of it. But it works. It gets the message across, and it's one of my social statement pieces.
There you go. J.J., delight to have you with us. I wish we had more time, but come back again. We'll chat some more. The CD is J.J. Crown. It's out there available right now. You can check out J.J.'s website as well, jjcrown.com. And I'm going to play off the CD right now, Kindred Hearts, for our listeners as we wrap things up on this Friday morning. Thanks again for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Warren. And just to remind your listeners, it's Crown with an E at the end.
Excellent. Thanks, J.J.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
He's a wannabe hero, and she's a could-have-been queen. Strangers on a crowded train, he offers her his seat.